Lord, he will lift you up. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. We greet you once again in the name of the Lord. We're happy to be here and we thank him for the opportunity, for the privilege to break the bread. Let us bow our heads. We look to him. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you and praise you. Lord, we come once again, Lord, to worship you in spirit and in truth. We just thank you, Lord, for your blessings. We thank you for the leadership of the Holy Ghost. We thank you, Father, for revelation of this word. And Lord, knowing that no man could know this truth, but Lord, you raised up a voice in the last day. Lord, you took over the vessel of that seventh angel, Lord, and you began to reveal yourself. You began to take the veil off, Father, that your bride could see you in the fullness, Lord, of your power and glory and resurrection, Lord. We thank you and praise you. Let us, Lord, submit ourselves daily, Lord, to bring forth the image, Lord, of Jesus Christ in this flesh, Lord, that we live in. And Lord, guide us now in the lesson, Lord, as we're looking into this promise and this prophecy and this truth of justification by faith, Lord. Lord, you revealing to your bride that she's sinless, Lord, and how that she could possibly be in such a place. And we thank you and praise you. Blessed be with Brother Michael, Lord, as he's having to work. May you just be with him, give him travel and mercy. Lord, Sister Evelyn, as she's listening in, and those that would listen in, Lord, after, Lord, we just ask you would bless them and anoint, Lord, the message to their hearts. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You can be seated. Well, we also want to continue to remember Brother Joe. We're missing him. And then I just met another brother online today that I didn't know. And his name is Brother Rohan, and he's from Sri Lanka. And I'm not sure what one of the groups he's in. I know the brothers from Pakistan. Their names are kind of like that, like the Rohan. But this is, Sri Lanka's far away from there. And so he just dropped me a line and said that he's been listening to all of the messages that's been coming here, and that he's been enjoying it and he's been blessed. And so we just appreciate that, and we appreciate the input. And I know as ministers, each one, Brother Goomba, myself, we feel humble that that different ones are coming and listening in. And but we thank the Lord, and we know that there's only one reason. It's the revelation of this last day. It's God drawing his seed, each one. And now this is part five now. Oh, and I wanted to say, I guess Brother Goomba told you the vote was finalized Sunday evening, that the name was Faith Tabernacle, and I can't hear when I'm back here, so I didn't hear what he said. But anyways, so the Sister Evelyn is the one who had input that name, and so that was the one that got the most votes, and so we appreciate that. And we had some good fellowship with her on the phone last night, and we appreciate her, and we want to continue to remember her, let the Lord make a way where she can be with us. But as I said, she is with us in spirit. She's listening in, and that's the main thing. And so that's what it's all about. So now I want us to go to Romans chapter 7, and now I'm going to read this chapter, but at the same time, I'd like to read it out of my Bible. The Bible on the search engine is for the table. It is a King James Bible, but the Bible that I have, one of my Bibles, is a study Bible, is the Scofield Bible. And it is a it's a little bit easier to read. And so some of this chapter is a little bit hard to understand, and It's so I'm hoping maybe this will make it a little bit clearer, and then as we go into the message, the Brother Branham will make it more clear. But Paul here is showing the difference from the law, and that's what we're going to get into as we go into this message. And Paul, he obeyed the law, but in all of his obedience, he found out that it didn't deliver him from sin. That as long as the law was there, there was still sin, and so there was no deliverance. And so that's where he's bringing us to, and that's where he's going to bring us to in this message in Invisible Union. He's going to bring us to that deliverance. He's going to bring us to that place of being sinless that could not take place under the law. And so he talks about the warring in the flesh. He talks about that Adam nature, and he refers to that. He uses that word carnal, fleshly, and he's referring to that Adam nature. He's referring to that even when you're born again, you still there's that flesh is there. There's still the flesh can be tempted, different things, but once you're born again, then that desire for sin is gone. And but under the law, it wasn't. And so let us begin here in Romans chapter 7 and verse 1. Know ye not, brethren, for I speak to them that know the law, how that the law hath dominion over a man as long as he liveth. For the woman which hath a husband is bound by the law to her husband so long as he liveth. Now, this is according to the law. It's according to the law. Without the law, then there's no sin. There's no, you don't know that this is wrong. It's by the law that you know it. And so is it with all things, even today. It's by the word of God that we know right and wrong. And so he said, just like Brother Branham said, if there's no stop sign, then you don't have to stop. And I've seen that many times, and I marvel, Brother Kumba in Kenya. There's many times you're going down the road and all of a sudden you're coming up to an intersection and you're looking and you realize that there's a four-way intersection and there's no stop sign for nobody either direction. And so there's people that just come flying right through it. And there's other people that have fear and they come easy up to it and they look both ways and then they pass through. But there's no sign there. And so and actually I got stopped one time we were traveling far to Brother Kuroki's, and we were on the road, and I actually got stopped a couple times, and but they if they see the white skin, you're in trouble anyways. But anyways, I got pulled. They got these radar guns that they could shoot your speed. And so we were on the back road that I thought was probably 50 or 60 miles. It was not a back road, it was a main road, but it was going to Nakuru. So it was Nakuru Highway, and we were close to Lemuru. And so anyways, they shot us, so they're waiting for you a couple miles down the road, and they stop you, and they want to charge you for speeding. And so I told the man, I told him how fast I was going. He said, yeah, but the speed limit's less than that. I said, but there's no sign. I said, there's no sign telling me. I said, I've been looking for signs for miles. And I said, I've not passed one sign to tell me what the speed limit is on this road. And he looked at me and he said, that's not my problem. And I said, well, it's not right. You're going to give somebody a ticket and they don't know how fast to go. You don't know how fast you can go. And he said, that's not my problem. My problem is to enforce you're going too fast. And so that was that. And so anyways, there's Brother Branham said, there's got to be something to tell you it's wrong. It's just like your child. Your child, you have to tell them something's wrong. They don't just do something and you correct them. You have to tell them now, this is wrong. You don't do this. And then they don't do it, then you can correct them for that. then that's the Bible. That's the Bible way. You correct them for that. So, but first they got to know that. For the woman which hath a husband is bound by the law to her husband so long as he liveth. But if the husband be dead, she's loose from the law of her husband. So then if, while her husband liveth, she be married to another man, she shall be called an adulteress. But if her husband be dead, she's free from the law, so that she's no adulteress, though she be married to another man. That's something, isn't it? When you think about it, it's just on one thing. On the law says, in other words, God said, this is how it is. So now, if that first husband's living, then she can't remarry. But if he's dead, she's free as if she'd never been married before. Wherefore, my brethren, ye also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ. Now see the change now? See how fast he changed that? Wherefore, my brethren, you are also become dead to the law by the body of Christ. By the new birth, we become dead to the law. And so he's speaking for that day. For this day, we can speak that we have become dead to that partial revelation. We have become dead to that partial revelation of the seven church ages and what they have. Now we've come to the perfect realization. Now we've come to the fullness of the revelation. And that Brother Matt said in the church ages book, that's what perfect revelation, perfect realization means. It means completed realization. In other words, you've come to the fullness of the revelation. So this thing that we're studying, just this one point here on justification, this has continually been coming to light, coming to a realization over the years. It's coming right now from Paul in that day. It came in Luther. But the fullness of that, the complete realization of it, came in this day, came through the prophet of this last days, through the promise, through the message. Wherefore, my brethren, you also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that you should be married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. For when we were in the flesh, the motions of sin, which were by the law, did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death. But now we are delivered from the law, that being dead wherein we were held, that we should serve in newness of spirit, and not in the oldness of the letter. And what shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. Nay, I had not known sin, but by the law. For I had not known lust, except the law had said, thou shalt not covet. So then you know. Then you know. It's like sometimes you tell your child something, I don't do this. And they're like, they never thought about doing it until you told them, don't do it. And then their mind, Satan is telling them, wonder what'll happen. I wonder when there must be something there. They're telling me, don't do this. They might say, don't go, don't open that door. Don't go in that room. Now they're wondering what's in that room. And so, it's like, it reminds me of a brother in Tucson. He used to go to Brother Perry Green's church, and I think he was a deacon or something. And then he come out, and he visited us here a couple of times. His name was Brother Larry Walters. He was a deacon at one time there, and he said that his boys were so stubborn. He said he could tell them something. He could tell them to not pick something up, maybe off of the shelf. He could say, "Don't touch that statue on that shelf." And he said, he could tell him, if you do it, I'm gonna hit you. And he said his boys were so stubborn, said they would actually cover themselves up as they're reaching for it. That they would just be reaching over for it, knowing they're going to get hit, but they would just be doing it anyways. What does that? What does that? There's something there. See? For without the law, sin was dead. For I was alive without the law once, but when the commandment came, sin revived, and I died. And the commandment which was ordained to life, in other words, the commandment intended to bring forth life. That's what it intended to bring forth. That's what it was given for, to bring forth life. See, I found to be unto death. Why? Because it didn't have the full answer. It didn't have the what we needed. It just was there until Christ came. For sin, taking occasion by the commandment, deceived me, and by it slew me. Wherefore the law is holy, and the commandment holy, and just and good. Was then that which is good made death unto me? God forbid. But sin, that it might appear sin, worketh death in me by that which is good. But sin, that sin by the commandment might become exceeding sinful. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For that which I do, I allow not. For that which I would, that do I not. But that what I hate, that do I. Then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. And now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would, I do not. But the evil, which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. He's making it clear that in this flesh is no good thing. In this flesh is death. It's death. Even if you're born again, it's still death. And even in the law, it was death. No matter, Paul obeyed the law. Paul was obedient to the law. He was strict in the law. But he found out that it was still death. At the end of the day, it was still death. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. And now, as we go into this message, he's going to open some of these things up. And we're going to start in paragraph 22, an invisible union. And I've been trying to get to this message for a while now. And this is a great message. And I noticed that since we've been in this, one of the brothers on one of the groups, he's been going through this message, just posting the quotes paragraph by paragraph. And also I had some questions on these things from some brothers there on their on the things concerning true justification. Some of these some of the old timers are very strict on the women, and anything that they have in their past, it's held against them. I had one telling me one time that a little girl, when she was a little girl, they had some game they play there in Kenya, and we have games we play here, and boys and girls and whatever it was, had nothing to do with her virginity or any of that, but there was some game they played as a child. Every once in a while, I think maybe some of the boys and girls together played house. That's what we called it, and wanted to be the husband, and wanted to be the wife, and wanted to be the children, and wanted to be something else. And it was just a game, and you didn't know nothing more than that, but just as a child, just as you would play church or play anything else. And so some of them took that against the women and said that they were defiled and they couldn't marry. And so a brother told me, they told one brother that he was going to have to leave his wife. And I said, brother, you need to stay with your wife. I said, I don't know where that thinking comes from. I said, but it's wrong. It's absolutely wrong. And I said, not even considering the revelation of true justification, I said, that is just wrong. That's just as a child, playing a game. There's nothing been done there that's wrong. So paragraph 22, moving on here. Now, we are going to use this like a Sunday school lesson, and it's not directed to anything or any certain persons or anything. See, it's just to the church, the body of Christ, that we're trying to lead to deeper thoughts and higher objectives. See, believing that the coming of the Lord is at hand. And we believe that, and much more, it's 20 years closer than it was the first time I come to Shreveport. Oh, so much has happened since that time. And now we're looking forward for the coming of the Lord in our generation. I'm not looking for revival in our generation. I'm looking for the coming of the Lord in our generation. And now in Romans 7, trusting that you have your Bibles open everywhere across the country. And they had a really big, this message was on the telephone hookup was across the nation. There was many churches. So there was a big listening group in Chicago, New York, many, many different places. This was televised. Maybe that whole week in Shreveport for the Shreveport meetings were on the hookup. I don't know. But this one, he talks about it, and he tells that they're listening in. So now I want to read closely now this message out of here. Now, it seems like it's on marriage and divorce, but it really isn't. To me, it's a prophecy for the church in the last days. Brother Branham is declaring this message, this scripture, is a prophecy to the church in the last days. Now, that's a big statement. And to me, that's just saying the same thing that he said in marriage and divorce. Who is this Melchizedek? These different messages. He's declaring that this is another revelation on the message for this day. That's what he's saying. Saying this is the prophecy for the church in the last days. Now, let us read. Know ye not, brethren, for I speak to them that know the law, how that the law has dominion over a man as long as he liveth. For the woman as a husband is bound by the law to her husband, so long as he liveth. But if the husband be dead, she's loose from the law of her husband. So then, if, while her husband liveth, she be married to another man, she shall be called an adulteress. But if her husband be dead, she's free from that law, so that she's no adulteress, though she be married to another man. Wherefore, my brethren, ye also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that ye should be joined or should be married to another. Praise God. Even to him who is risen from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. Now, Paul is declaring here that we should be married to another, that we need to be dead. We need to be dead to that first husband and be joined to another, and that we become dead to the law by the body of Christ. It's by the body. It's by the new birth that we become dead to the law. We become dead to all of that, even to him who is risen from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. For when we were in the flesh, motions of sin, which were by the law, did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death. But now, we are delivered from the law, that being dead wherein we were held, that we should serve in newness of spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. See? Now, we have been delivered. We've been delivered from the seven church age messages. We've been delivered from Paul's message. We've been delivered from the seventh angel's message. We've been delivered from that. And we, as a part of the body of Christ, that part that is manifest in this day, that part, that attribute that was to manifest in this age that has come forth, we're a part of that. And so that's where we are. We've died to the other. And now we have come forth to marry Christ in this day. And this is truly the day of the marriage. See, let me read this again. But now we are delivered from the law, that being dead wherein we were held, that we should serve in newness of spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. See? Brother Branham, he prays, he says, Dear God, and there's this something I wanted to get out of this. Dear God, we have just read that we believe to be the sacred word of God, and that's what we are believing, that not one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from this until all is fulfilled. And we believe that our Lord told us in Revelation, the 22nd chapter, whosoever shall take one word from it or add one word to it, the same, his part will be taken from the book of life. And we see that by misrepresentation of this word, as Satan misrepresented it to Eve, caused her to doubt one word. And it's been doubted all the way down through because there's been misrepresentation of it. And not only misrepresentation of it, but there has been a lack of revelation of it. Because once it went into the ground, then it had to be restored back. And so from that, it was building and building and building. And so there was a lack of revelation of what we have today. And so that's the beauty of the message of this hour. See, it throwed the whole human race into a fallen chaos, just one word. And then we see in the middle of the book came our Lord and Savior. He gave us this quotation concerning it. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Now, there's so many things that lay in the scripture that the prophet has made real to us in this day. There's so many things, just like this simple scripture right here, that says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. It's realized in this day that the mouth of God is the prophets. And in every age, those prophets were speaking to that part of the body in that day, in that hour. And the people that were living on the earth in that day, they had to hear that part. They had to hear that promise, that prophecy, that scripture that was ordained for their hour. And so if they pass that, then they miss God. They miss God completely because that's where God was in that day. And now it's come down until this time until we can see every bit of it all the way back. And we can see the capping of it. We can see the completing of it. We can see the completing of the revelation, the completing of the realization of what it was. Then the solemn warning in the last book of the revelation of Jesus Christ, whosoever shall add one word or take one word away, his part will be taken from the book of life. Oh God, knowing and seeing how fragile we are, knowing that we're walking on the brittle threads of life, of this mortal life, not knowing what time that we're going to be summoned to answer on high. Let us, O Lord, lay aside everything in our heart, everything in our mind. Look straight to your word tonight for you to come and interpret it with living oracles. Grant it. Now, these 10 words right here is where I read this whole paragraph to get these 10 words. That you might come and interpret it with living oracles. Because that's the reality of the message today. It is living in it. Right. And that's the interpretation of it. They're living out the truth of this revelation. May your spirit fall upon us and anoint the word to our hearts, that we might go from here this evening better people than we are now, that we might have a closer insight on Jesus Christ. Grant it, Lord, that we might understand the day that we're living in and the preparation of God for his people in this hour. How this prophet cried out in those meetings in Shreveport. He had already told us a year before, in 1964, he told us that he loved this brother. He loved this whole family. The brother Jack's daughter and husband was a missionary, and I think they were actually in Thailand at the time this was preached. And so they went back 20 or 30 years, their ministries together, traveling around the world together. And Brother Branham had to declare. And that's what surprises me, that this door was opened for him, because he declared that what's wrong with them? What's wrong with them? Why do they do that? Fast pray, fast pray, fast pray. He said they failed to recognize the hour that we live in. They failed to recognize the message. They failed to recognize the coming of the Lord. They failed to see what had taken place, that the bride is having a revival. The bride has been awakened. This great, crucial, dark time that we're living in now, God, anoint us, not only speaker, but hearer, and together make our hearts to tremble at your word. For the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. Grant these things, Father, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, Paul here is giving an illustration in our scripture about law and grace, and illustrating it like marriage and divorce. And this passage is very seldom preached on because it more or less pertains to like marriage and divorce. But it also pertains to a greater portion of marriage and divorce. How that he's trying to set an order here that we as a church can no more be married to the world and Christ at the same time. Brother, sister, this is more serious than it's ever been. The wheat and the tares were mingled together all through the seven church ages. But this message is a separation. This message brings us out of all unbelief. This message brings us into union with Jesus Christ, brings us one with him. And it is a separation. This message is separating the sheep from the goats. It's been happening. And It's really real for me, because I've been seeing it not only here, but I've seen it in the other countries. I know from the time, and I know Brother Gomba has seen it there in Kenya. From the first time I went to Kenya, the first trips, all the churches come together. It doesn't matter what your doctrine was, what you believe, what. All of them was coming together. And little by little, every year, some more would drop off. They had their doctrine. They separated. They said, no, we don't believe this one. We don't believe that one. We have this. We have that. It was continually separating. India, the same way. Continually. They have their doctrine, their idea, and that's it. And they separate from the others. And all of them claiming to believe the message, all of them claiming to follow the prophet. It has been a time of separation. And it is a separation of unbelief, and it's bringing the bride together. And the bride is trying to speak eternal life to all who can receive it. That's why she's crying, grace, grace, grace. See, he's trying to set an order that we as a church can no more be married to the world and to Christ at the same time and be legal and lawful about it than it can be for a woman to be living with a husband while she's got a living husband. I have my own thoughts on that, and I believe that what the Bible says is true. But I also believe, see, is to my belief that it unfolds one of the great mysteries of prophecy. This does. This lesson does. And that's what we're after here. That's what we want to get here. And watch where he goes. From this statement, watch the example, the story that he gives. It was said one time, One of the books I read on Mr. Moody, Dwight Moody, in Chicago. And we have a great listening audience, a great listening church in Chicago also tonight. Mr. Moody, after reading Romans 7, ran out into the street. The first man that he met, he said, "Do you know grace?" And the man replied, "Grace who?" And Mr. Moody said, "The grace of God." It's so thrilling when he's seen how grace had separated us from the law. That's what Paul's talking about in the 7th chapter. And how, what part grace played. Well, now, anything that I want to do, I've always told people when I cross the line on the other side, I'd like to stand up and sing "Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Precious grace, oh my. For it's grace, it's by grace we are saved, not by what we can do." See, what we can, whatever we do is not counted to us. Grace is what saves us. By grace are you saved through faith. You'll notice how everything ties to Revelation. No matter all the grace of God, all that God gives, everything God does, there's something that has to take place for you to acquire this grace. It's got to be revealed to you. It's got to become a revelation. It's got to become a reality to you. Now, may I add to this woman grace? May I place her in the Bible? Also is called the elect lady. This Miss Grace I'm going to talk about. Now, the Bible declares, said to the elect lady, that if you notice, elect come from the word elected lady. One lady amongst all the other ladies was elected. Like the virgin was to bring forth the body of God on the earth. She was an elected lady. God chose Mary. And also, God has chosen an elected lady, which is his bride. She's elected. She is selected, that's for sure. And so she is an elected bride, predestinated by God, for God. And I hope we're members of that tonight. Across the world, across the nation, rather. See? Amen. This elect lady. Now, illustration here showing the relationship of bride of Christ, the elect lady, and how she was to be brought to him, and where she would come from, and how she would be brought to him. See, the church here now in illustration that we got in view is illustrated by a woman, which a woman is always a type of the church, because the church is considered a bride. A bride. She is the bride of the Lord Jesus, the Son of God. And I want you to notice three things that he says here. Three things, and I'll put them on the board on Sunday. The relationship, huh? The relationship of the bride to Christ. That was one of the things. How she would be brought to him. That was number two. Where she would come from. That was number three. There's three things he said there. He said the illustration here showing the relationship of the bride of Christ to the elect lady. How she would be brought to him. Where she would come from. And how she would be brought to him. I'm sorry. He repeats that. So the relationship, how she'd be brought to him, and where she would come from. He promised that those three things would be revealed. Always, if you watch the conditions, see, and the conduct of the women, and you'll see where the church is. And now you'll watch everything in the natural, how it's happening, nature, and watch it. It runs sure with the spiritual. Well, if you just stop for a minute and think about that, and look at where the women are. Look at where the women are. If there was ever a time, I was telling somebody today, we were talking, but in the Old Testament, the scripture condemned sodomy. It condemned it. In the New Testament, the scripture once again identifies and condemns sodomy. It condemns a man with a man and a woman with a woman. It identifies it and it condemns it. There's no two ways about it. There's no leeway. There's no pass to make it right or to make it okay. It's wrong. And so now he said, you watch the women. You watch them. It's total hypocrisy now. You notice today they just posted where this woman broke all of the free lift records for women. She was a man. She beat the woman's record by almost 200 kilos. Like it was like 386 and then it was 500 and something. So it's not like, okay, another woman comes along and beats the world record by 10 kilos, which would be amazing because that would be. But this one does it by over 100 and something kilos. She breaks every world record. It's because she's a man. It's because she's a man. And it's happening. I just heard another one just a while ago where this guy become a woman for just maybe 1 hour. He joins the competition. He goes in. He wins the competition, breaks the record, and he leaves, and he's a man again. That's insanity. It's absolute insanity. And Brother Branham said, watch the women. Watch the women. You'll see the condition of the church. And when you watch the women, you also see the condition of the man. God, Brother Branham said, a man that'll let his wife do that stuff, it shows you what kind of man he is. So the problem starts with the man. A lot of times we throw it on the women, but it's not on the women. It's on the man is the one who allows that stuff to happen. And so that's where the problem begins. And it's all right to, as we were sharing with Sister Evelyn last night, Brother Branham said, every one of us have a ministry. The women have a ministry. Every one of them has a part. Everybody has a part. And so all of that comes together, but it comes together under the leading of the Holy Ghost. It's God doing it. But when it comes into a perversion, that's a totally different thing. And that goes, I'm telling you, it's satanic and it's insane. And people are not in their right minds. They can be smarter. They can be 100 times smarter than me because it's very much so in the academic realm, in the academic world. They are intellectually 100 times smarter. I'm talking about professors with PhDs and masters and all kinds of stuff. And turn around and stand and say that's okay, that's right. That's the left. The left is the intellectual side. They are academia. They are the colleges. That's where Satan has went to. Satan has went into the colleges and been teaching that to our children for years and years and years. And that's why now all of a sudden it was ripe. It was ripe. And this thing exploded. And now they're crazy. They're just crazy. So watch everything in the natural, how it's happening, nature, watch it, and it runs sure with the spiritual. Oh, it does. Now, if you'll see the conduct of women in the world today, watch the conduct of the worldly church today. See? Just watch. Of course, there's also the conduct of the spiritual bride, the church. See, watch that also. That's right. Because the natural so-called claim to be the bride. And Brother Branham said, that's right. Said they claim to be the bride and said, that's the reason they're going to be judged. They're going to be judged that way because they claim that they are. But that's the reason that the Bible calls them. He said there's two groups. There's two groups that he's speaking to because they both claim to be Christians. They both claim to be bride. They both claim that Christ is their husband. And they'll be judged for that. Now, what did he say? He told us three things again. Watch the conduct of the women today. Watch the conduct of the church today. And watch the conduct of the bride today. Amen. That grace is living out of that bride. Because this revelation and all of the revelation of this message is living in her. It's living in her and it's being extended. And when she sees people dying, when they're bound to the law, they're bound to the traditions, they're bound to the culture, they're bound to that partial revelation that was back there under the ages. She's offering them eternal life. She's offering them a way to be set free, to be delivered. That's Paul was trying to show it to those people, to come out of that thing, to be separate from that idea, to become one with Christ. That in the law, there was only death. And there's only death anywhere but in this revelation. Now, please, let me say again to the local assembly, don't feel bad now. I'm speaking to all out across the country, to what I think the elect lady. So if there happen to be ministers in here that doesn't agree, you just hold your peace a little while, see? Notice, just listen. Notice this character. When you see women just go on the rampage, just doing anything they want to do, watch the church doing the same thing. Just doing anything. People are being more bold and bold and more bold about it. Used to they hid it. Now there's no hiding. Now they're proud of sin. Now they're proud of perversion. Now they're proud of these things that are insanity. But watch again. When that spiritual bride, when she begins to have a revival, when she begins to come back and line herself up with the Word of God, that's the one we're watching. That's the one we want to see. What does he do? What does he do? Watch then again. You see how the scriptures at that time, there'll be a message sweep out to catch that bride, to catch that woman elect. Amen. Brother, that's what's happened to every one of us. That's what's happened to the elected lady around the world of every nation and every tongue and every kindred. There would come a time, there was a spirit of the last days. There's a spirit of the last days that took the people into sin, of perversion, and of insanity. There was another spirit of the last days that was poured out upon an elect lady, and it made her desire more of God. Is that Brother Branham talked about on Azusa Street? He said that something began to burn. He read something in the Word, and God began to pour out the Spirit on that Word for that day. And that's what's happened in this day. When those seven thunder mysteries began to open up, there was a hunger and a thirst that God put in the bride to know that there was just something there crying out that there's a reality here. There's a revelation here. And I can remember when we first come into the message, and we're talking 30-something years ago, I can remember meeting with those ministers, those old-timers that was with the prophet, and how that we come together and we were just babies, knew nothing about nothing, never heard of two souls, never heard of these other things, the Son of Man ministry, never heard about anything. But somebody read in the seal book that there were seven thunders. And so the question come up, and so we thought, we're going to find out. We're going to get these ministers that was with the prophet, and they're going to tell us what these seven thunders are all about. And we get in the ministers' meeting. I remember us driving. We were about 2 hours away, I think, from Chiefland to Tallahassee, Florida. We drove there to meet them, most of them. Well, some of them were from the Panhandle. Some of them were from the Tallahassee area, but it was kind of a central place to meet. The ones that were farther south, they really traveled. But anyways, there were some old-timers, and there were some smart men. There was men. One of those brothers, his name was Buckley, William Buckley. He stayed with us one time. He was one of the first ones who transcribed the messages. I think he worked for Spoken Word. It was Spoken Word at that time. And he transcribed. The man, you could ask him anything. He had a memory. He knew the message. He knew the quotes. He could talk to you about any subject. But no revelation. No revelation. We got in those meetings, asked them about the seven thunders. They said we didn't need to be talking about it. Said we didn't need to discuss those things. We needed to leave all that mystery talk alone. I've been in other countries, try to get in pulpits of pastors. I remember in the Philippines, first time I went to the Philippines, pastor said, we believe the message, we believe the prophet, we believe this, but we don't want none of those mysteries, we don't want none of those things, we just want the Bible. Like, what's wrong? What's wrong with people? If God sent a prophet, and the prophet is telling us that rapturing faith lies in those thunders, then why aren't we desirous? Why isn't something burning inside of us to know what those seven thunders are? Why isn't something burning in us if God has revealed all of the mysteries? And that's what the prophet said. All of the mysteries of the Bible had to be revealed before those seven thunders utter their voices. Why would we not be on fire to know, want to know what has been revealed on our day? In this time, in this late hour, what would make you run the other way? What would make you think, no, 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 we don't want that? Just stay right with what Paul said. We're not in Paul's day. We're not in Luther's day. We're not in Wesley's day. We're not even in William Branham's day, the seventh angels. We're not there. We are in another day. And this age is the bright age. This is the climax age. And the climax age means that this whole thing, the whole body of Christ, is come to the climax of what it was supposed to be. What it was supposed to be. Brother Branham said, the body is standing on its feet and the head coming to the body. And it's Jesus Christ. It was Jesus Christ in the feet. It was Jesus Christ in the knees. It was Jesus Christ in the thighs. All the way up, it was Jesus Christ. It was Jesus Christ in the tongue. It was Jesus Christ in the eyes. And now the intelligence has come. They didn't have the intelligence. And now we have the intelligence. And people don't want it. There's nothing worse than trying. And I know Brother Michael is a trainer. And I hope he don't ever run into this. But there's nothing worse than having somebody that you're trying to train, and they already know more than you. You know they don't know, but they don't want to be taught. There's nothing harder than that. They think they know more than you know. And I know, I don't know so much, but when it comes to building, I've been doing this 40 years. And if you've been doing it 1 year, there's a pretty good chance I can tell you something you don't know. And just experience alone, you know, it's amazing. It is amazing when you bring that into the spiritual realm. People don't want it. They just don't want it. And it amazes me. It amazes me. But there is a bride. There is a bride that God poured out his spirit on, and she has a desire for every word, for every bit of this revelation. And she knows that there's mystery lying within the sentences, the pages, the paragraphs. She knows the revelation is laying in this message, and that it's deeper than what people think it is. When they just stay back there with the old idea, Brother Branham said, if a message comes and it stays with that same idea, you know it's not God. That's pretty strong. But watch when the spiritual bride, when she begins to have a revival, when she begins to come back and line herself up with the Word of God, wonder, there's no way that Satan, somebody out there that was listening to Brother Branham in that day, didn't go tell Jack Moore what Brother Branham had said in Recognizing Your Day. There's no way. There's no way they didn't somebody go tell him. I can remember used to the church right here. Something can be said, and before you got home, somebody had already called somebody else and said, guess what? Something was said about you tonight. And I'm like, who is that? Who does that? Who does that? And I don't know. But it happened more than one time, many times, and just amazing. But I'm sure that this got back to Brother Jack somewhere along the line. And Brother Branham didn't say it in a mean way, in a hateful way. He said it in a matter-of-fact truth. This was the truth. This was a problem. But he's talking here. This Brother Jack was sitting on the platform. I just wonder if these words took his mind back to that. I just wonder. Because this is what they missed. God started a revival in the bride. In the bride, the spirit began to move on her. The revelation began to open to her, and she began to have a revival. And that was from the seals to recognizing your day. In the seals, he declared that she had not had a revival, that she had not was not awake yet. In recognizing your day, Brother Branham said, they failed to recognize the awakening of the bride. But watch, when the spiritual bride, when she begins to have a revival, when she begins to come back and line herself up with the Word of God, watch then. See how that the scriptures at that time, there'll be a message sweep out to catch that bride. There's your rapture. There's your rapture right there. There will be a message sweep out to catch that bride away. That's what it's done. That's right. Those seven thunders would bring rapturing faith. The revelation would bring rapturing faith to her. There'll be a message sweep out to catch that bride, catch that woman elect. That's right. For as the world, Satan, the deceiver who deceived the first bride, to sinning against God by misbelieving the word. Amen. But that bride, God sends a message that makes a revival living in her, living on the inside of her. Praise be to God. Amen. Let us stand. And we're right at 8:30, and that's all right. So I'm going to ask Brother Michael if he'll come. And if he wants to have a song, whatever he wants to do. Amen. God bless you. Yes, thank you.
Hey man, I know you enjoyed that. Sorry I missed the first part of the service. I had a lot of activity going on at work, and they really needed some help. And I try to help them out where I can. And but I called around to make sure everybody's okay. I know I appreciate Rebecca stepping in, and I know I kind of create a little bit of pressure for Amanda too. So appreciate it. Lord's good to us. He's blessed us. And I was thinking as he was talking there, Brother Branham says, I'm preaching across the world or across the country to what I believe is the elect lady. He was preaching to the elect lady. There was millions of people that heard that message, but he's preaching to the elect lady. And so it's not for everybody. They're not, and you know, and I know that hurts sometimes. But I thank God that I'm one of his. So appreciate it. And let's sing I'm one of them. I'm one of them. I'm one of them. I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them. I'm one of them. I'm one of them. I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them. Sing it one more time. I'm one of them. Yeah, I'm one of them. I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them. I'm one of them. I'm one of thee. I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of thee. Amen. I'm so glad that message went out, as he was just talking about there. That message that go out and would awaken the bride, and she is awake. And I guess one thing I could take away from maybe a little bit of good thing. So extending today, I had to transition to another department, and I worked with a lot of people. And what makes me think about it is he's talking about intelligence. The intelligence has come down, and then dealing with people that think they know and they don't really know. So I worked with a lot of the students today, or a lot of the people that's already went through the testing, has went through the test and passed the test and are qualified, and they're out there operating. Several of them on the floor today has been in the past year that has been through the classes, and not bragging on me at all, but I began to start thinking, I'm looking at these, some of these older people that kind of are hesitant to have a younger person teach them. And so they kind of buck up a little bit, and they want to say, well, no, I've been doing this and I've done this and I've done this. And then I'm looking at a new person that's just barely got a few years under their belt, and they're speaking with intelligence. And there's difference in just knowledge and then wisdom. But these, I'm looking at these younger people, and they're speaking and they're acting and they're moving with knowledge and knowing. They're not stepping out on that limb. And I see sometimes that some of these older people, because they kind of buck up a little bit and they want to say, well, I'm better than the process, I'm better than this, they run into it, and then they start guessing themselves, and then they have to reach out for help. But these younger ones, they're watching and they're learning and they're stepping out, and they're and it was, it kind of made me feel a little bit good, a little bit, to see that. And look, thinking about that spiritually, we don't step out on that limb. We don't get out there in Satan's territory because we think we're somebody. Just because we know we're a son of God and we have knowledge and we have revelation, that doesn't mean we just run up and just jump in Satan's face every time. But as God moves us, as Satan jumps up, and as he moves and attacks, God's got our answer, and he's given it to us. And when we act on that, we act on the knowledge of that, we'll be fine. But when we jump up because we have a name or something, then God knows just how to humble us, and he puts you right there. So it was, he's good to us. He's so good to us. So let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we count our privilege to come in this evening, Lord, and hear you speak, Lord. We listened on the road as we traveled, Lord, and heard some good stuff, Lord. And sometimes we think, oh, we've heard this and we've heard that, but Lord, I don't care how many times my wife tells me she loves me. I love hearing it every single day. And I know you feel the same way about your wife, Lord. Lord, we never want to get tired or get in a rut or consider church monotonous or just a tradition, Lord, but it's a relationship. It's a life that you're living, Lord. And we appreciate that, Lord. We appreciate that desire, Lord, that revelation. Lord, as we go tonight to our homes, may you be with us through the night, Lord. We know your angels are encamped about us. And as we move through the rest of the week, may we recognize your presence on every hand and take note, Lord, and just take a moment and just talk to you, Lord. And those that are dealing with things, whether they be spiritual or natural, Lord, well, we may not know, but Lord, we know that you know and that you've already provided a way. You've already provided an answer, Lord. All we have to do is just reach out and take a hold of it, Lord. And we appreciate that, Lord. We thank you for all you've done for us, and we'll look forward to even more and greater things. In Jesus' name, amen.